It is my privilege this evening to stand before you all and minister from God's word in this happy occasion of the joining together of Mervyn and Merlin. I have known Mervyn right from his childhood. We were considering the other day, how old was he when I came to know him? Around a year and a half. And I was closely associated with that family. When I came newly here to Bombay in the year 1985. It was a home that encouraged me in learning God's word. It was a home that showed great hospitality to those who loved God's word. And so it is my privilege this evening to stand before you, especially to minister from God's word at this time. We looked at the invitation that was given to us by the family of our brother Koshi Matthew. And it begins with this: two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. And so this evening, the Spirit of God led me to speak from this portion, and so shall we turn to the book of Ecclesiastes and chapter 4. And we'll read from verse 9 to verse 12. Ecclesiastes chapter 4, verse 9 to verse 12. Two are better than one because they have a good reward for their labor. For if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. But woe unto him that is alone when he falleth, for he hath not another to help him up. Again, if two lie together, then they have heat or warmth. But how can one be warm alone? And if one prevail against him, two shall stand withstand him, and a threefold cord is not quickly broken. God would add his blessings upon the reading of his precious word. In Genesis and chapter 1, the very beginning of the word of God, there we read about the creation of God. And we see what he created in those 6 days of the beginning. And we read there that in each of the 6 days, except the second day, God saw that it was good. Each of the days except the second day. On the 6th day, God created the animal life that were upon the land. And after he finished the creation of the animal on the land, he saw that it was good. Then after that, we read that God created man in his own image. Male and female, he created them. And there we see, after he created man, that he saw that it was very good. So man becomes the crowning glory of God's creation. Because until he created man, he saw that it was good. But after the creation of man, saw that it was very good. So man plays a significant role in the plan of God. But when we come to chapter 2 and verse 18, there we read for the first time in the scripture a negative remark. And there we see God says, it is not good for man to be alone. When God saw that everything that He created was good, when it comes to man, before the woman was created, He saw that it was not good. And so God created, from out of Adam, He created the woman and He brought that woman to the man. It is after the woman was also created that God saw all that He had created was very good. Or in other words, man alone was no good. It was only when woman also was created that God saw that it was very good. Now the verse that we read in Ecclesiastes and chapter 4 and verse 9 gives us the reason as to why two are better than one. We see there five things are mentioned. God gives five reasons as to why two are better than one. The very fact that Mervyn and Merlin are seated here this evening is itself proof that two are better than one. Five reasons God gives there. And five is the number of grace. And it is grace alone that will help us to have a good and successful married life. So let us look at what the Word of God says about that. Firstly, it is to do with working. For it says there in verse 9, because they have a good reward for their labor. This labor is not to do with working for earning money. This working is to build up this relationship into which you are entering today. You need to work out your marriage. When we have trusted in the Lord Jesus Christ, all those who have trusted in Him as their Lord and Master, they are saved, they are born again. But we read in Philippians that we need to work out our own salvation. Or in other words, that we need to face every situation of our life and thereby prove that we are the people of God. So also in the case of marriage, as you begin your married life, you should be able to work out together your marriage. And this is an essential part of married life. In a short while, this couple will make a covenant with each other. And they would, in that covenant, say, whether in joy or in sorrow, or in health or in sickness, by richer or poorer, and so on and so forth. The covenant that you enter is to say that in every situation of your life, whatever may be the conditions into which God would lead you into, in every condition, that you will work out your marriage. It could be favorable to you. It could be adverse condition through which the Lord will lead you. But you are responsible to work out your married life. It says a good reward. Or in other words, it's a good return. Marriage is an investment. We read in Hebrews in chapter 13 and verse 4, marriage is honorable in all. That word honorable, which is translated as honorable, in most other places in the New Testament, it is translated as precious. In 1 Peter, the same word refers to the precious blood of our Lord Jesus Christ. So marriage is precious, and you need to invest in your marriage. And when you invest in this precious institution of marriage, you will receive a good reward. Remember, it does not just say reward, but it says a good reward. Or in other words, only good is expected to come out of a marriage. And so you should realize, and as you begin your married life, dear Mervyn and Merlin, only good should come out from your married life. Marriage is an investment. You should be able to invest your time, your talents, your energy, your wealth in this institution of marriage. It is not just simply a bed of roses. It is, of course, like a bed of roses, but there are thorns that are there. And so you need to invest and take a married life very seriously, and it will yield you precious returns. The illustration that this passage gives appears to be the journey of a traveler. And this day, you are going to begin a journey together. And you would be wise to learn from God's word how you need to lead and walk in this journey. So the second thing that we see there, it is to do with your walking. For it says in verse 10, for if they fall, the one will lift up his fellow. If they fall. Man is a weak vessel, and woman is a weaker vessel. Man is a weak vessel, and that's why he needed a helper. So because you are weak, Merlin, remember, Mervyn is a weak vessel. So he is likely to fall. And Mervyn, remember, Merlin is a weaker vessel. She is likely to fall. For in those situations, you need to be able to lift the other up. Each of you come with your own individuality. Each of you have your own limitations. Merwin is not perfect. Neither is Merlin perfect. There are flaws in our life. But it is for us, for each other, to lift the other up. In this life journey, you have pitfalls. You should know that the other is weak and should be able to lift the other up. Merlin, you will notice as you begin this life, perhaps Merwin is not all that you expected. And Merwin, you, as you begin your life with Merlin, may think that she is not all that you expected of her. And that's why God has joined you both together, that your strength would lift up her in her weakness. And you, Merlin, with your strength which God has given to you, should be able to lift up Merwin in his weakness. In this illustration is an illustration of a cord. There are two threads, and if these two threads are entwined together, and if you will pull them from each end together, it is stronger than one. But if you will pull at each other, individually at the different, each of those threads in the opposite direction, then it will create friction. It will loosen. It might break. So never try to pull each other apart. Never try in your life to score against the other. Never keep a list of the failures of each other. Whenever a situation comes into your life, and when you see the other having failed your expectation, with your strength, you should be able to lift the other person. And thus, two will be better than one. So it is to do with your walking life. And the third thing that we read there is to do with your warming life. If two lie together, then they have warmth. We know if you take two coals and light it, and then you leave it separate, they die fast. But if you keep it together, they last for a longer time because the heat of each other strengthens or keeps them warm. It is also true with our bodies. Our togetherness should be able to warm each other. God is expecting man and woman that they would be together in closeness, in communion, and in intimacy. You have to be close to one another. You need to be always together in your life. Let nothing come in between, whether it be your career or your parents or your friends, let them not come in between you. You need to be close together and you need to be in communion always. You need to have a healthy conversation in your life. And I want to tell you, Mervyn, that Merlin, we have so much things to talk about. You should have your patience to listen her through. At times you'll think that it is a lot of rubbish. But sit and patiently hear her through. For very often, and most often, she would be speaking sensible things. Woman is made to communicate. And they will keep communicating. And they will keep telling you small and little more and more things. And Merlin, man is not so communicative. And so you need to understand him. And together, your communion should be there constant. And that will help you in your married life. You should have a physical intimacy between you two. And that is what God is expecting of us. Today Merlin is here to look the best that she can be. We read in Psalm 45, the king's daughter is glorious within. And as you behold her each day, Mervyn, you should be able to see in her the glory that she is as an individual in her person. In the Songs of Solomon, in chapter 2 and verse 1 and verse 2, there we read, the bridegroom say, I am the rose of Sharon, the lily among lily in the valley, the lily among the thorns is my beloved. So Merlin, let Anu be at all times the rose and the lily. We read about the bridegroom later, the rose that speaks about his ruddiness and the lily that speaks about his whiteness. And she goes ahead and says, my beloved is white and ruddy. Let your eyes always behold him as ruddy, as white. Let him be the one who would be the desire of your heart through all your life. And Mervyn, may she be the one who is beautiful to you. Let your eyes behold her as the most beautiful that you have ever seen in your life and will see. And your love should blossom day by day as you see each other. When Mervyn comes back to the home, Merlin, as you see him, your heart should warm. Your heart should bubble to see him again after a little break. And so too, Mervyn, let no other woman in your life ever take that place for you to behold in any manner of a woman who is more glorious than she is. For the lily, the Lord speaks about and says, is glorious. Solomon in all his glory was in no way comparable to the lily of the valley. Let your love blossom and increase day by day. It doesn't come all of a sudden. It is for you to work out and to love one another. The scripture says that you ought to love her even as Christ loved the church and gave himself for the church. Fourthly, we read there that there is a watching to do. And if one prevail against him, two shall withstand him. We considered in Hebrews and chapter 13 and verse 4 that marriage is precious. And what would you do with things that are precious? You will preserve it, you will guard it, and you will care for it. And so, Merwin and Merlin, this is something which is very precious. And hold this as the most precious thing in your life. And preserve this marriage. For what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. So also will you leave your father and your mother, and you will be joined to her as one body. And we read in Psalm 45 that you will leave your family and you will leave your father's house. Let not anything come in between you, not your father or your mother or your father's house, come in between you. Preserve your marriage. Guard it. Because there is one who's against you. In the world today, as we look around, even among believers, those who are born again, marriages are breaking because marriage is not considered to be precious and they don't want to preserve that in their lives. This is the most precious thing in your life. So guard over it and care for it day after day. And fifthly, it is to do with waiting. For we read there, and a threefold cord is not easily broken. Earlier I mentioned about two strings. If you have a third string, with these two strings, and if it is wound up, it is proven that it is the most strongest rope or cord. When the third string is there, you try to pull one string at a time, it would not budge. You try two strings and you try to pull on each side, yet it would not budge. Because there is a third string in between. And let the Lord God, who has loved you and given His life for you, be that third string in your life. He is the traveler who will accompany you through your life journey. Never will He fail you. Never will He forsake you. So let the Lord Jesus Christ be the center of your life. And I am sure both of you love the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm sure both of you obey the Lord Jesus Christ. Have Him as your third cord. For you, Merwin, He should be the cord of love, a sacrificial love. And to you, Merlin, let Him be the thread of submission and obedience. And if that be true as a third string in your life, you will be the most successful married. You will have a most successful married life upon this earth. In Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31, there we read, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles." The word that is translated as waiting, "they that wait," that word actually means entwined. That's the original meaning of that word. They that are entwined unto the Lord. So let your life be entwined with the Lord Jesus Christ. And you will renew your strength. You will fly up, mount up as the eagle. You will reach glorious heights in your married life. The sky alone would be your limit. So have him as your third string. Love the Lord Jesus Christ through all your life. Keep him as the center of your life. And he is the one who would strengthen you. You remember Jacob? He left his father and his mother, and he went to search, and he went out to look out or to meet his bride. And as he journeyed, he went. And when he went near to Paddan Aram, there he meets Rachel. He comes to know that she is the woman that his father spoke about as his wife. He goes to her, he kisses her, and he lifted up his voice and he wept. It was joy overflowing in his life. And then we see that he went through labor, he toiled, he worked, and he waited for 14 long years to make her as his bride. That is sacrificial love. But before he went and saw Rachel, on the way he met somebody else. As he, on the night came, and he went and lie down and put a pillar upon his head, he saw the heavens open, and he saw a ladder that went up, and the angels ascending and descending, and indeed he met the Lord God of Israel. That was the center that was in his life. May the Lord be the center of your life, because he is the one who loved you and gave himself for you. It was a sacrificial love. It was the love of God that the Lord Jesus Christ displayed. God created man. It was the most significant of his creation. Man was so important to God. When man failed and fell into sin, God did not forsake him. The Lord Jesus Christ waited. And when the fullness of time was come, he left his Father's house. He left the heavenly glory. He left his Father's house and he came down into this world in order to seek a bride for himself. But we were not fit, for we were unclean because of sin. We were not fit to become his bride. We were not fit to be taken to his home in heaven. And so he had to sacrifice. He came down to this world. And the Lord Jesus Christ went up to the cross. Because without shedding of blood, there was no remission of sin. There was no way that man could ever go to heaven and be with God forever. The Lord Jesus Christ took our sins and he went up to that cross. It was a sacrificial love. He gave his life for us in order that we might become his bride. He died, he rose again, and now he's gone back to be in heaven. And he's going to come again to take his bride unto himself. And this evening, dear Merlin and Merwin here, they are a picture of the love of Christ, the love of God towards mankind. God's love was so much that he gave his only begotten Son for us, that whosoever would believe upon him should not perish, but have everlasting life. If perhaps there's anyone here who's listening to me, who have not tasted the love of the Lord Jesus Christ, Let me tell you at this moment, the Lord Jesus Christ loved you and gave Himself for you upon the cross. If you will believe on Him, you will be saved and you will spend your eternity with God. May God help you, dear Mervyn and Merlin, that you would always trust in Him in every situation of your life. You will have Him with you, and He will never fail you. He will never forsake you. Man would not maybe be able to help you, but He is there to help you through all your life. And may God help you both in a very successful married life. May God bless these thoughts to our hearts.